It says, we have prayed all night. We've held on with all of our might. You know what that's the next part of it says? You know, it says, listen to this. It says, my child, you've awoken the Savior. You understand what it's saying? He knows your voice. He hears it. And you know what? You've awoken him. I know there's a lot going on in this church right now. I know it. But let me tell you something. When you go to the Lord in prayer about anything that's going on in your life, I want to tell you, He knows your voice. He hears what you're praying about. Don't let the devil steal that from you. He hears what you're praying about. In the ship, and he said that the disciples were afraid. And he said they cried out. And he came up there, what did he say to them? Where was your faith at? And they're awoken him because of their cry. Praise God. Well, I wasn't even playing a song for us. And one of the parts in it that said, you know what? We have come with open hearts. And you know, I asked you here a while back, if you know, do you love the Lord? I asked you that. And I'm going to ask you another thing this evening. Are you listening to the Lord? Are you listening to what God has for us to say? I'm going to read the scripture in a minute, but I want to tell you something. I'll pray here in a little bit. You have a right to expect that your church pulpit is filled by a prepared preacher. Amen? You have the right. You have the right. Preaching a prepared sermon that has come that helps you to grow, to stand behind this pulpit and be spiritually prepared. You have that right. You're also the right to expect him to be prepared by praying and by studying. You have right to expect that. And I don't care what church it is, from here to Timbuktu, they have the exact same right to expect that also. Amen? You should expect me to pour myself into my preaching and to the Word of God. You should expect that. And you should expect your pastor to visit the sick. You cannot be at a church service, for whatever reason it is. You have the right for your pastor to. You expect him that, because the Word of God says that I should do that. And any pastor should do that. Amen? We should do that. And we would be exactly right in expecting all these things and more from me and whoever stands behind this pulpit. We have the right to expect that. You do. And you know, I've had the right to expect that in the past. With that being said, what does the one in you? Can I say that to you? Listeners, what do I have the right? A great preacher named Charles Spurgeon once said this, and I wrote this down. He quoted, "We are told men ought to preach with preparation, and that is correct." Then he added this, "Men ought not to hear." When you come to this church expecting me to do what I should do, I come expecting you to be prepared and ready to listen to the Word of God. Let me ask you, what do you think needs to be the most preparation? Is it the one that's preparing the ground, or is it the ground itself? Greg came and asked us here a while back about plowing our garden. You know what? If he hadn't planted seed, what do you expect's going to happen? If I ask you and I tell you, you know what, praise God, God has given me a sermon to preach to you, and you come here tonight not prepared to receive the message, how much do you think you're going to get out of that message? I don't think very much. Let me ask you that again. Who do you think should be better prepared when they come to church? Who needs to come with clean hands and be well prepared? That's me. I should come in a clean hands and be well prepared to bring the Word of God to you. Amen? Bowed and hallowed and be well turned over and the cloth broken before the seed ever hits it. So when you come here to this church expecting me to preach to you, and I should be prepared to preach, I want you to come prepared to listen to the Word of God. Then, you know, the ancient ones, you know what? Don't come expecting me, and I'll get into this a little bit later. I'm not a one-man show. I'm not that. Hey, as a preacher, I would attest to that sometimes I feel that I'm not getting through. Can I say that? I feel that. And just the opposite of that, there have been times I thought, man, I have nailed it. You know what I mean? I felt good about it. And come to find out, you know what? Maybe they didn't get as much out of it as I thought they would get out of it. And you know what? That happens. As preachers, I can attest to that. That happens. Most, come prepared to respond to the message. Can I say that? Those of you who are going to receive the most out of a message are the ones who have come here tonight prepared to receive what God has given me to give you tonight. Praise God. I tell you what, I am thankful for that. And I'm going to read from 24 down to 48, and I am going to skip all over this, so just bear with me. 24 through 48 of the 10th chapter of Acts. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, To keep company, or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I asked, therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard, and thy alms are held and report to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee. Remember that right there. Listen to that. We are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee, of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive God is accepted within him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that the word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, it began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. It is he which was ordained of God to be judged of the quick and dead. To him give all prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Mark it, write it down. There's no greater truth than this word. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house here this evening. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the word would go out this evening and those here this evening would listen, Lord. And I, Lord, would preach it the way that you would have it to be preached, Lord, for this, Lord. Now, Father, we give you the glory and the honor for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. We see Peter at the house of Cornelius, ready to deliver the message, right? To God has told him to deliver. Would it not be great if every time me and you would present the gospel of Christ out here, that we would get such a following every time we preached, every time you witnessed to somebody? Wouldn't it be great if we did that? You see that whenever we find out, wouldn't it be great that Peter found gathered in the house of Cornelius everything God had allowed us to tell the story of Jesus Christ? God had prepared Cornelius. Cornelius had prepared those in his household. They were ready to hear the word of God. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if every time we walked into a church to preach, everybody in here had their whole household, everybody had everybody they talked to and brought to church that day, prepared to hear what the preacher had to preach about, prepared to hear what the testament and the songs were about? I'll tell you what, we could not contain. We couldn't be able to prepare. We wouldn't be able to do it if we come prepared. If we come prepared. They were all anxiously awaiting to hear from Peter. They were anxious to hear about it. How many times have you ever come to church anxious to hear the word of God? I want to ask you, just be serious with yourself. Ask your own self this question this evening. How anxious to get here so you could hear the teaching, the preaching, the testimonies? You were anxious and could not wait to get here. That's what these people were. They were anxious to hear the Word of God. When you and I come to the church, have we come with a prepared heart and an open mind? Have we done that? I'll tell you what, church, I did not come prepared, and I didn't come with an open mind. I come thinking absolutely nothing. I've done that. First, let's look at preparation of the preacher. Let's look at Peter. Peter had received a vision from the Lord. The vision opened his eyes about the prejudice he had in his heart. You know what? If you were a Jew, thought. But God opened his eyes and showed him that that was not the case. If you read in 10:9 through 16, God is beyond the reach of God. Do you believe that here this evening? Do you believe that there's not one individual that you know or have ever met that has sent his son to die on the cross? I believe there's no one beyond the reach of God. There's no one. We've got to believe that. Also, God shows Peter that no one is beyond the reach. God has given new truth to Peter and gives him the opportunity, listen to me, to act on what he had been, what he had learned. You know what? There knocks at the door, and the carriage, just as soon as Peter's gets done with that vision, guess what? There's a knock at his door, and someone there's telling him, said, listen, there's a... And praise God, he acted upon what God had showed him. I want to tell you something. I hope and pray that I do this all the time. But whenever God shows me something to preach, through his word, through, I'll tell you what, I milk many cows, but I understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of different things out there where I get messages from, and I find it's not that. But God has shown me. And whenever he does, I want to tell you something. I have got to preach. What if Peter had just turned his back on this? I don't know what might have happened. God would have probably opened up another way, but it wouldn't have been the way that he wanted it to go. I want to tell you something. I want to preach the Word of God to you whenever he showed me. And praise God, I don't ever want to do that. But he acted. And you know what? This is so often the case that the Lord will deal with me on some new truth. And you know what? I've got to preach it when he does it. I've got to preach it when he does it. This comes from the Bible, the study of the many different things. I told you. You know what? I told you there's so many different ways that God can deal with an individual to show any different thing. My goodness, I've got sermons from just going to the grocery store. I mean, one time I got, you ever see those books at the store where you go in there, it's like the Esquire or something like that, some kind of gossip magazine, I don't know what they're called. But I sat in there looking at that and I said, you know what? And God will often provide situations and circumstances in our life that whatever I'm called, he will take and make it just right for those circumstances and for those things in my life is true. He's done it. Like Peter learned a lesson well, and I also need to be obedient. I also need to be obedient when God's dealing with me. I've got to be obedient when he does that. This is have to obey and proclaim the Peter did it in Acts 10, 3 and 4. See how much Peter packed in such a little message, is it not? It goes, God has shown the necessities of being saved in that little bit of message right there. If you want to see a message that would cover it all in just a little bit, you know what? That message probably... But you know what? It meant so. I've got to learn that. The length of the message is not where the power of the Holy Ghost dealing with me and bringing the message out the way that he wants it. That's where it's at. It's not in the length of it or whether it's long. But God needs to be preached at that moment at that time. Amen? He presented Jesus in such a way that Cornelius... Amen. And I hope and pray that God always deals with me that way. That it's simple to understand that the message that I'm preaching is that Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes, I go on different routes and go down different ways. But you know what? Right back down to it, the point is that Jesus died for the ungodly and he can save souls. He's still on the throne today. Praise God. That's the message where it is. Cornelius and all who heard were prepared. The ground had been prepared by God dealing with them. Preaching is not solely, and I'll tell you this, I told you this earlier, active rather than a passive event. Acts 10:33 gives the example, and it talks about there. So I sent for you, and this is the NIV version of it, which I like because it kind of explains it a little bit better. It says, so I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. You know what? They were all that Peter had for them. Too many people, you know what, see preaching as a one-way communication. I'm sorry. That's why a lot of people feel. All right, preacher, I'm here. You preach to me. You give it to me. Okay. Have you come prepared? Have you come with your soil overturned? Have you come with a message that's being preached? And you know what? Use it for your glory and for the upbuilding of your life and for the life of those around you. Have you come prepared? Because if you haven't come prepared, I can stand up here and preach to you till midnight tonight. And you know what I'm going to get? Probably a bunch of you is going to leave, and those that don't leave may be asleep. I don't know. You've got to come prepared. Has as much to say about, if not more, about the listener than it does the one that's bringing the message. Am I right about that? If you look down through the Scripture, it's got a lot to do with about to listen to the Word of God. It has more about that than it does the ones who are bringing the message. Amen? As it does about the preacher's obligation. It's time we realize that the way we listen is indicative of our spiritual growth. Amen? The way that you listen to the messages of God's testimonies, to the songs, the way that you listen to all that is indicative of how you're going to grow spiritually. That's how it is. That's just plain and simple. There are things we all can bring to the church services. Am I right? A prepared soil is the first thing. Studies show that those who come prepared to receive the message are that from a fact, because you know what? I'm one of them that has learned that down through the years. If I go to church and I'm ready and I'm prepared, I have got something out of every message I've heard. If I come prepared and let God deal with my heart and show me. Come with an alert mind. Any farmer can tell you when the seed is sown, everything depends on the condition of the soil. And you know what? So it is true with the listener. A preacher told me this story one time. And listen to this. And it's kind of a preacher said one time in his church, he had a gentleman who would come to him after every time that he preached. And he would come up to him, he said, "Well, preacher, your sermon was 28 minutes and 32 seconds long." That's what he'd tell him. He said, "And you know what? There's 11,000 knot holes in the ceiling." And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about listening. He said, "How much do you think that man got out of that preaching? How much do you think he got out of it? He's too worried about counting the nail holes in the wall and the knot holes and not trying to get what the preacher is preaching." "Well, preacher, you're so boring. Listen, pray that God that will make you happy then." But come prepared. Have your mind alert to try to. You know why I say that for is? Because God may have something for you in that sermon tonight, and your mind could be 50 miles away, and you know what? You're going to miss what God has, and the devil's laughing all the way, because he's come to steal that seed. And he'll do it. You know what? The moral of the story is we need to stay focused and alert to God, and we be trying to tell us something, folks. Don't let the devil steal the word from you. Don't let him do it. Avoid being distracted with you, and have him open. Because God wants to deal with you. You know what? I told you this, and I believe this. If I'm preaching to you, and you remark at time about how that preacher told his church he's going to preach on Mark 16:32 or whatever it was. Anyway, there was no more that. So he come back next week and ask him, "How many ever read it?" He said, "Over half the church raised their hand." I want to ask you, if you, and I know this sounds like a broken record, but please, young people, get in the habit of reading your Bibles. Get in the habit of making that as important as anything that you do in your life. That Bible, make sure that you read it. Make sure that you eat it. Listen, when you come to church, have your Bibles there. Open up. James says in 1:20, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Do you understand that? You understand what he's saying? You know, if he tells us that, you know what, his word's important, let's be a doer about that. Let's have his word. And we need to have a receptive heart, folks. We need to be receptive. Let's have a receptive heart. You know that? We've got to be receptive of what the word is being preached. Do we not? I mean, there are times that I've been guilty of this, and you're going to have to forgive me this, but I've been sitting back here sometimes. I heard preacher preach. I say, "Well, that's for Sister so-and-so back there. That's for Brother so-and-so back there." You know, I'm thinking that in my heart. I ain't saying it out loud. You know what I mean? But I'm thinking that, you know, and here I am. You know what? God wants me to be receptive of something, and here I am pushing it back. You know what? Dave Long has to worry about Dave Long. I have to worry about this church. I told you Wednesday night, I'm not the shepherd of the church down the road here. I'm not the shepherd. I'm the shepherd of Drift Run Church. This is where God has placed me. This is where God wants me to be the shepherd of a church. And I'll tell you what, I want you to be receptive. I want you to be to mind what God has been being preached to you and taught to practice what He has heard from the Word of God. I tell you, if we were as willing to take the Word of God, be receptive, and go out here with it the way we are, some other things out here in this world, I'll tell you what, this whole community would be saved. If we were as willing. Sometimes I wonder if we are. And that's just, I'll just put that. Tell you what, as many sermons as we have right here, you have the opportunity to practice listening to what God has to say. So each sermon gives you and I the opportunity to, whenever the gospel is preached, God is glorified. Amen? He should be glorified. When God has prepared the messenger as well as those, these things can happen just like they did. Just like they did with Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius' whole household got saved, did he not? All those people that were there got saved. Folks, if I come prepared and you come prepared, listen to me. We can do things. Listeners, like I asked you here a while back, do you love the Lord? Do you listen? Now, I'm not talking about hearing. A lot of people hear, but they don't listen. Am I right? Say amen to that. There's people that hear, they don't listen. I had kids this exactly like that. They'd hear exactly what I was saying, but they wouldn't listen to what I was saying. And they're not here, so I can say that. Anyway, I ask you this evening, are you a listener? Are you listening to what God has for you to hear? The ancient words, has He, you know what? Something that you may need. You really may need it. Praise God. Come and get a song, please.